Hello, and welcome to The Analytic Angle, a podcast brought to you from the Statistics, Data Science, and Data Management Corps in the HIV Center at the New York State Psychiatric Institute and Columbia University.
In this episode, we discuss and define data science, with a special focus on the differences between traditional statistics and machine learning.
Hi, this is Kale.
Hi, this is Martina. And Kale, I thought that today we can talk about the term data science and what exactly is data science. It's something that we hear a lot around us, but I always wondered, what can we consider data science?
It's a really good question, Martina. I have a hard time sometimes defining it myself, even though I work as a data scientist and I teach a class on data science. I try to communicate to students that data science is made up of several different elements or pillars, like I try to describe it, and that includes like traditional statistics, machine learning, the reproducibility of your analyses and your code, understanding how to do a lot of different programming, and then finally, substantive expertise. And so I try to say that data science is definitely a very trendy title. It sometimes gets described as just being a rebranding of things like statistics, but I do think it has some different elements, and I try to highlight that list as the elements.
That's interesting. So technically, machine learning is just one subset of the data science, and potentially statistics and coding is another subset of the data science.
I think so, yeah. I think I like to think of it that way, because if you don't know how to do much coding, you're going to run into trouble either running statistical models, but also machine learning models. And since data science often involves publicly available data, like scraping data from the web or using really big data, you usually need like a little bit more advanced programming skills than the typical statistician might. So it does have those different aspects. I do think that a lot of people lean more towards the machine learning and the programming aspect and away from traditional statistics, but I'd argue that like in order to be a good data scientist, you should know some traditional statistics too.
Of course. So technically, if we just zoom in on machine learning and statistics, what do you think are the key differences between those two techniques? Or can they substitute each other? How can people understand what is the difference between statistics and machine learning?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think if you talk to some statisticians, they would just say, "Oh, machine learning is part of data of statistics. It's not, you know, substantially different." But I do think that it has a lot to do with the goal of what you're interested in. I mean, statistics is, you know, the science of uncertainty and understanding uncertainty and making inferences based on levels of uncertainty. And so I think statistics has a lot to offer when you're trying to learn something about the world, whereas machine learning is a very powerful technique and has very powerful tools, but often what you're trying to do with machine learning is make a specific prediction for a specific individual. And so you're not as interested maybe in understanding the world as much as you are interested in predicting it.
So do you think I'm explaining it correctly to my students when I say that statistics is all about thinking about populations on average and trying to figure out whether there are some associations between certain measures or between certain things that are happening, while in machine learning, we're thinking about rather individuals and we are trying to predict a specific outcome for each individual separately using some sort of a information that we have somehow specified ahead of time?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good overall description of the different aims of traditional statistics and making inferences about populations versus machine learning and individual prediction. I think it can get confusing because sometimes people associate like certain methods with either statistics or machine learning. And I think that's actually the wrong way to look at it. It's much more about what your goals are, like whether your goals are, as you said, to learn something about an association at the population level, or whether your goals are to make like a tool or an algorithm that does a good job at predicting for individuals.
So technically, we can use, for instance, logistic regression for both, for statistics and also for machine learning. But when we use logistic regression in statistics, we are more interested in association between predictor and the outcome, potentially the effect sizes, odds ratios, confidence intervals, p-values. But if we use the logistic regression as a machine learning tool, then we are more interested in prediction. What is the expected predicted probability of an outcome for each subject separately?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And logistic regression is actually like one of the tools that gets used a lot. I mean, obviously in traditional statistics, but maybe not so obviously, it's used all the time in machine learning. And there's actually been papers out there that have surveyed all the different methods out there and what gets used the most. And actually logistic regression is always like number one or number two in terms of machine learning methods that are really common. So yeah, I would definitely say it's about what the goal of the analysis is and what the purpose of it is, much more than what specific tool you use.
So if the purpose of my analysis is to really predict which subject's supposed to get what treatment or whether the subject will do well on the treatment or not, then I should be using machine learning tools. And if my goal is to actually associate whether the success of the treatment on average is connected to certain factors, then probably statistics tools are better for answering that question.
I think that's right, yeah. It's really a question of whether or not you want to make a statement about people on average receiving something versus a specific individual and what's going to happen for them. Sometimes the average prediction is a decent proxy for what's going to happen for individuals, but a lot of times it's not. A lot of times, actually, there's going to be a big difference between an average model and a model that is built for the purpose of predicting individuals.
Do you think that the difference between those two models, one that is sort of more on a statistical side and one that is more prediction side, do you think the difference is also in the number of predictors or features that are involved in that model and how they handled?
Yeah, definitely. I think that when people are interested in inference at the average level, when they're talking about traditional statistics, people generally want to be pretty thoughtful about what they're putting in the model. They want to put in variables that are associated with the outcome, or both the outcome and the exposure, to deal with confounding. They want to make sure that those variables are cleaned a certain way and that they're interpretable in a certain way. But when you're building a model for machine learning purposes, you're not really focused so much on that interpretation. And so you're much more willing to put many more things into the model, many more predictors, and to not be as concerned necessarily with the interpretation of those predictors. And that's partially due to the fact that in the machine learning world, there's a lot of tools you can use for variable selection. You're not as worried about having too many things in your model.
Yeah. So I always talk with students about how important in statistics is operationalization of all the predictors and variables that go into the model. And then we have to be very, very careful how we operationalize, because in the details on how each variable is handled sometimes lie the success or failure of the model. And I always tell them it's better to operationalize based on theory than data-driven operationalization, what the data tells you, because we do not want to operationalize the predictors just to get the smallest p-value. But how it is exactly done in machine learning?
Yeah, in machine learning, it's not really that approach. You know, generally, you're not going to be zooming in on individual predictors and operationalizing them one by one, because you're not as interested in the interpretation. And additionally, many times there'll be a pre-processing step where you say normalize all of the predictor variables or do something sort of all at once that way. And so the idea of operationalization, the idea of specifically defining things to match up with like a theoretical hypothesis you have, it's not really there in machine learning. It's much more about throwing everything in that you think could be useful for prediction and then letting the algorithm or model fit and do its work trying to make those predictions.
So could I simplify it and say that in machine learning, the algorithm actually chooses the predictors and operationalize them in the best possible way to maximize the prediction of the outcome?
Yeah, I think so. It depends on what algorithm you're using.
Some of them
do it themselves. Sometimes you have to do sort of a pre-processing step to include that idea. But that is definitely the idea behind building a predictive model, is that you're allowing these algorithms that have been developed to, I don't want to say do a lot of the thinking for you, but to make sort of decisions that will benefit the prediction overall. Mm-hmm. And so you're choosing things like where to cut a variable, continuous variable, or how to define a categorical variable, and you're letting the algorithm make those decisions in order to get the best predictions out.
I see. So to summarize it, this part, if I have only, let's say, 5 predictors, I measured 5 things about my subjects, can I do an effective machine learning model, or is the number of features or predictors that I have important?
It's definitely important. It depends on what system you're working with. Like, it could be possible that those 5 measurements you have for each observation, it's possible that they could be really predictive, but in many like health science settings, you're probably going to want a great deal more predictors in order to get good individual level predictions. You also generally, for machine learning, are going to want a very large sample size. You want generally many more observations than you traditionally use in traditional statistics.
So that was my next question, because we have that for machine learning, we need a lot of predictors, but we also need much larger sample size than we use typically for statistical models. What are the typical sample size in the industry that people are using?
It definitely depends on the system and like what type of model or algorithm that you're gonna want to use. However, it is a data hungry type of modeling, because what you do in order to see how well your algorithm does is you separate the data into different parts and sort of train and test on different parts. So for that reason, almost always more data is better. And generally, I think if you don't have at least 500 observations or somewhere in that range, you're probably not going to have enough to really be able to use a lot of these algorithms. So I would say somewhere in the 400 to 500 range is a little bit of the lower bounds for how many observations you need.
Wow. Because in statistics, it's quite opposite. When we have large sample sizes, this could be detrimental, because we can find almost everything then significant regardless of the effect size, and then we can find that effect sizes that are not clinically meaningful are still statistically significant just because we have large sample size. So it seems like there is quite a difference between machine learning and statistics, and we should be aware of that.
I think so, yeah. I think that a lot of people hear about machine learning or artificial intelligence, data science, these words, they get very excited about them. But really, unless you're interested in doing that individual level prediction, it's not really a replacement for traditional statistics. It's really doing something different than traditional statistics is doing.
Great. Thank you for the discussion. And this concludes another episode of our podcast, The Analytic Angle, from the Statistics, Data Science, and Data Management Core in HIV Center for Clinical and Behavioral Studies.